This is side two of the tape, and I'm going to let him continue.
Okay, as I was talking about how rich their countries are, the countries are very rich. Let me put it in basic knowledge. You want to buy soda, if you had $3.65, you could get one 20-ounce soda. So that's how much a soda costs. The countries are very rich, so everything over there costs a lot more, except for gas prices. Gas prices were cheap because they make the gas, so they can keep the prices up what they want over there. OPEC controls it for the United States, so they inflate the prices when it comes to us. To go out to eat, if you want to go to like Pizza Hut or something like that, you can see spending approximately $40 on a large pizza and a thing of tea. So you spent a lot of money just to have the same amenities and thrills in life that you have here in the United States for a third of the price.
Well, were you scared about going to Desert Storm?
Of course, everyone is scared. If you're not scared, I guess you build up an immunity to it, knowing that you could possibly be killed, or you could have a friend killed, or someone in your family could be killed. So, of course, I was scared. I mean, as I said before, I told my mother that I didn't want to go, and who really wants to go? You didn't know what you're getting into. You go to a foreign country to possibly kill foreign people and possibly have your friends or relatives killed in the process. So, of course, I was scared, especially when I was on ship. When I was on ship, I was unable to defend myself. I mean, I'm sitting in there, and the Navy is there to protect us, and we're traveling across the open ocean. They can send a jet in, missiles. We've often heard of a ship being in friendly waters getting struck by a missile from a foreign country, a terrorist type, and the ship being, you know, a lot of people being killed or destroyed, just as in Beirut, Lebanon, where the Marine Barracks was bombed by one terrorist in a truck full of bombs, killed hundreds of Marines. So, of course, I was scared because there's a possibility that I may be injured or killed.
When arriving in Saudi Arabia, describe it.
Okay, describing Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
When I arrived in Saudi Arabia, for like the first part of the time, we were on ship for about a month once we arrived in the Persian Gulf. So we had a lot of time to acclimatize. We'd go outside the ship and we would run and exercise. And then we did a beach assault. We assaulted the beach to get the feel of what a beach assault should be like. The first one wasn't good enough, so we did it again and again and again until we got it right. It takes a lot of time to completely offload a ship and put every Marine, because there's on some ships there's possibly 3,000 Marines on there or 4,000 Marines, and get all of them off the ship and onto the land in an expedient amount of time that they can fight and defend themselves. So it takes a while. First time I hit the beach, they had told us that there were scorpions and spiders and snakes and other dangerous animals that were there. I can remember it being real dusty, because it was real dry, the country was real warm. It was real dusty, and the temperature in the daytime would get up about 130 degrees. And at nighttime, where you get down about 70. And your body couldn't handle the change in temperatures, which there was a 60-degree change in temperature there. So your body would actually make you think you're going to freeze at 70 degrees. So, because your blood would thin out to the 130, so your body could process the water and carry the oxygen. So when it got down to 70 at night time, you felt as though you were going to freeze and it was going to snow. But you were actually in no danger. And your body was able to adjust to these change in temperatures. There was a lot of type flies, there's actually oases in the desert. People say there isn't, but believe me, we found one, and we didn't drink the water or nothing there, but it was a beautiful sight that you could go across the desert, and out in the middle of nowhere, there would be a pond in the middle of the desert with green grass and palm trees. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of camels. if you killed a camel while you were over there, the government was, Saudi government was fining the United States about, $10,000 per camel that was killed by the United States.
Was it difficult relating to their culture?
Yes, it was difficult relating to their culture. I mean, the people are so much different. We'll start out with the women. How our women are so free and have equal opportunity in the United States. Their women over there or they stay at home inside the house, or when they come out, they have to have a veil over their face so their face can't be seen, and they don't like their picture to be taken. They feel that if you take a picture of them, you're stealing their soul. Their cultures are much different. They have markets and everything. It looks like a flea market's over there. Gold is cheap over there. They pray in the middle of the day. Everything shuts down in the middle of the day so they can pray. They have like five prayer times a day, and they pray to their God. They call Allah. They would play loud music over the intercoms. I mean, the whole country would shut down for prayer. So they didn't have to worry about the Iraqis tagging, because the Iraqis were praying at the same time. So it's a whole different culture. It's hard enough nowadays to have prayer in school in the morning when school first starts up, because people don't want to confuse prayer with the government in school. But I feel that prayer should be in school. That's just a personal opinion of mine.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever come in contact with any of the with any Saudi Arabians?
Yes, I did. We had trained some of them while we were over there, and taught them some things that we knew, and we were able to go to the hotels at nighttime when we hit port in Oman and UAE. United Arab Emirates, we hit the port there, and we were able to mingle with them. Basically, you'd see them on the streets. The only place you'd ever see anybody besides Saudis were hotels. That's where a lot of the you'd go there to the hotel, and you could meet American people, because they were traveling there for businesses. We played pool with them and stuff like that, and like I said, they drank in the bars at the hotel, because that's the only place you could drink. So we mingled with them and talked to them. Matter of fact, we had a Marine that was kidnapped while we were over there overnight, and sexually assaulted by the Saudis and dropped off in front of the American Embassy in United Arab Emirates.
Sexually assaulted by who?
By the UAE people. They didn't never find out who they were. Evidently, the Marine had gotten drunk and was kidnapped and sexually assaulted, and he was dropped off in front of the embassy the next morning with no clothes. All he had on was his underwear. I felt sorry for the kid, but he should never put himself in that predicament where he got drunk enough that he would get himself involved in something he couldn't handle.
How did you feel knowing you might have to kill or maybe even be killed for your own country?
How did I feel? It didn't bother me that I would have to kill somebody. I say that now because I didn't actually have to physically kill someone. I can say that now because maybe if I would have killed someone, I would have felt different. Maybe my life would totally would have changed. Maybe I would become like these soldiers that came back from Vietnam. A little psychotic, mentally damaged. But I was never put in a position where I had to kill someone. I had to fire rounds for warning shots, and we took a lot of prisoners, but I never physically shot at anyone to in an attempt to kill them. And the thought of me being killed, well, that's part of the war. I joined the military knowing that there's a chance that I may go to war, and I could get involved in a situation where I could get hurt or killed. Mm-hmm. So it's just part of life. I've come to accept that at any time I can be shipped out to a foreign country, where I can come in combative type situation where I have to kill someone or be killed. And I choose to kill someone instead of being killed. course, being killed is one of the last things I'd have to worry about, because I would definitely defend myself and worry about the Marines that's behind me to help defend me and them, so we take each other.
What was the most exciting part about going to war and after that, the war?
Okay, the most exciting part? Mm-hmm. I can't really say there was an exciting part except going to a foreign country and seeing how foreign people live and knowing how good we have it in the United States. We have it real good here. People complain about government and society. Hey, we got a real good government. It's not a monopoly. I mean, hey, just think if we lived in Russia or somewhere like that. This is the United States. You can go to McDonald's and get what you want to eat. You can drive anywhere. You can travel this country from east to west, north to south, and go places that you can't go in other countries. While other countries, they're confined to their own hometown. No TV, no phones, no radio, none of that. So here in the United States, we really have it lucky, and people don't understand that. Now, the best part of it was when the war was over, or I could almost say when the war actually started, the bombing and then the ground war. I felt like that was the best part, because once I know we started fighting, it wouldn't be long before it was over with. So that's all I was worried about, was when we're going to start, because I was there for 5 months before we even started bombing. So, I mean, that's forever. We started bombing on, January 16th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, it took us forever. I mean, I left August the 3rd and got to begin, I mean, the bombing started January 16th. That's a long time, so.
Do you feel that any of that was a waste of time? Or?
No, sitting there waiting for something was a waste of time. I think President Bush should have went ahead and let us assault when we first got there, when we had enough troops to repel his attack against Kuwait and push him back into Iraq. I think we had the technology and we had the manpower to do it. He shouldn't have waited as long as he did. We waited extremely too long. But in a waiting, there's called a war of attrition, and we won the war of attrition because we had a supply line. Our supplies kept running. We had other countries there to help us, so our supplies were good. We just bombed him until his troops could no longer get supplies. So when they no longer had supplies, they no longer had the will to fight. If you don't have communications with whoever's in charge, how can you fight a good battle? Because nobody knows how to fight a good battle without knowing where everybody else was at.
Mm-hmm.